Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Well, welcome to another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show. I'm so glad that you've been able to join us today. Mark is taking a rare day off as my co-host, so it's me, which also means that if it's just my voice, I usually have a guest in the studio, which today I do. As a matter of fact, you may be listening to this show just before Veterans Day, or many of you on Saturday, Veterans Day, and this is a Veterans Day show. So we're going to take a moment. I want to honor all veterans out there. Thank you so much for your service. I personally owe you a debt of gratitude of the ability to live in a free country. And I take advantage of that. Many of us do without understanding the full cost that you have given. But I genuinely want to say thank you. And I appreciate all that you have given in the sacrifice of protecting the freedoms that we get to live under. And in studio today, I do have a veteran with me. He also goes to my church and is starting a ministry for veterans specifically. So I wanted to take an opportunity to use this moment as we think about veterans to kind of shine a light on what is happening out there in ministry for veterans. And so with me today is Michael Cummings. And Mike, thank you so much for joining me on today's show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You bet. Now, so you are a veteran. You've had quite a long history of serving our country. As a matter of fact, I believe that you are retired from military service with full retirement. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And so you can tell he was in the military because he just called me sir. That's the first time on my radio show anyone has ever called me sir.
I mean, you're supposed to call old people sir, too.
This is true. And so I am older than you. We just established that. But I got to get Mark to start calling me sir. That would be awesome. So, all right. So tell the listening audience just a brief backstory of your military service.
Okay, so I knew I wanted to be in the military from like the age of first grade-ish. I guess that's not an age, that's a grade. But so I did. I joined the Marine Corps right after high school. I was in boot camp 3 days after I graduated. I did 4 years in the Marines. This was in 2000. So I just got a year of the military prior to 9/11.
Yeah.
And then 9/11 happened and my world turned upside down overnight.
For sure.
Just went from a peacetime military to a military at war. And it was just amazing to see the changes in the military.
I mean, rapidly and overnight.
Yeah,
I'm
from
sure.
September 10th to September 11th, just the change was drastic. So I did 4 years in the Marines and I got out. I was out for about 3 months and I found that I really didn't have a plan of anything I wanted to do, and I really, really missed the military. I missed the brotherhood and the camaraderie. Mm. And so I went back and talked to the local Marine Corps recruiter and asked if I could get back in, and he's like, yeah, we'll get you back in. It's going to take about 6 months. So I walked out of his office, and the Army guy was next door waving me in. So I thought I'd go in and see.
He'd be happy to steal anyone,
yeah,
right?
So I went in to see what he had to say. And he's like, oh, so you're trying to join the Marines? I said, well, I'm trying to get back in the Marines. He's like, oh, okay, well, what'd he say? I said, this is going to take 6 months. He's like, oh, well, what was your MOS? That's your job in the military, MOS. Okay. I was like, infantry. He's like, oh, and it's going to take 6 months? I was like, yeah. And he's like, I'll have you in 2 weeks. And he did. 2 weeks later, I was off to Fort Hood and joined the 1st Cavalry Division down at Fort Hood in 2004 and stayed active duty Army for the next 8 years. And after my last deployment to Iraq, I was just worn down from the deployment tempo and just a lot of the stuff we'd been doing. And I decided that I needed to hit pause, but I didn't want to give up the military completely. So I transitioned into the reserves and went to school at the University of Utah and then finished out my last, I guess that would be 10 years from there as a reservist doing the civil affairs job.
So you have seen combat, as you just said. And that is something that, yes, is a part of almost what you kind of expect or the mentality of walking into the military. But But you just never know what the long-term effect is. There's really no way to prepare you for something like that. How has military service in combat times, how has that shaped your life through that time? And also, how has it shaped your life as you are today?
Yeah, so you never know like what combat's going to be like until you're actually in it. You don't know how you're actually going to react to it, and it changes you for sure. And I would even say, like, to a degree, you become a little bit addicted to it too. It's just the constant adrenaline rush, and then when you leave, you can never replicate that adrenaline rush. And I think that's one of the reasons you see a lot of veterans buy motorcycles and drive 600 miles an hour down the highway, because they're trying to replicate that adrenaline rush feeling.
Yeah, that putting into life and death situations that someone like myself who has never served, I don't understand that to the degree that you do. Even if I've had a life and death circumstance, it's not a day in and day out experience like what you and those around you have experienced. So other than some of the effects of saying, okay, there's this lifestyle that I have grown accustomed to or have walked into. What else do you see, whether it's you personally or whether it's things that you see with other veterans? You know, I guess as a civilian, I hear a lot of stories about the difficulties of retransitioning out of military into quote-unquote normal life. What has some of your experience been in that transition, or what have you seen with others in your brotherhood that have had those transition difficulties?
Yeah, so there's several things that I think our veterans deal with, and I dealt with myself. The first is the community, camaraderie, brotherhood piece.
Yeah.
First, like, you have to be able to define brotherhood. Brotherhood is different than friendship. Mm. Like, I don't have to like you to have brotherhood with you, for you to be my brother.
Yes.
It's like this unwritten agreement that no matter what happens, we have each other's back. We're going to support each other. We're going to be there for each other through everything. And when you're in the military, especially in a combat environment, you develop these really close relationships, this community with the guys that you serve with, because you're going through things that are extremely challenging, extremely difficult, and these shared life experiences that no one else can understand or...
Yeah, I cannot relate to that experience that you have walked through with others. Matter of fact, we recently went to a game and you were telling me about in your before Christ days, how you happened to be in a bar and there happened to be a little bit of a breakout. Don't need to go into any of the details. But one of the things that you said was that almost immediately there were five Marines who had your back. And that's not something that civilians experience. And my comment back to you was, well, gosh, the church should have something similar to that, but yet we really don't, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And so so that brotherhood, even just in a common story of, let me tell you this kind of funny story, what struck me was your comment that that as an event took place, there were five people standing up by your side in a heartbeat, and that's just the way that you lived life with a brotherhood.
Yeah. And so when our veterans leave the military, they've had this experience of community and this brotherhood, and now they come out into this world that we live in and our society as a whole, which is very isolating, especially after all the pandemic stuff.
And specifically in the Pacific Northwest, I've lived in other places, and there's a different sense of community in other places I've visited and other places I've lived. And I don't know why, but the times I was gone, I've pretty much lived in the Pacific Northwest my whole life. And boy, it seems to be an area of the country that is even more isolated than other places, less community in the Seattle area, in the Pacific Northwest, than what I've experienced personally in other places as well.
Yeah. And so you get these veterans that come out of the military and they're looking for that. And they may not realize that's what they're looking for either. But they've had this this community and this brotherhood, and they don't have it anymore. And it's a very isolating, very lonely feeling. They don't have the guys that, even if they weren't on the same deployment with them, they can at least understand, like,
right,
what happened and be able to relate to it. And so they come out into this world and they just feel so isolated and so alone. And I think that's one of the biggest drivers of the pandemic we have of veteran suicide, where it's almost 22 veterans a day.
Wow.
Is
that's heartbreaking.
Yeah. It's the loneliness and the isolation more than I would say the PTSD.
Yeah. And so you talked about that there is a brotherhood, a community that is unique, specifically coming out of combat times that that we cannot find in society. What is something else? You said that there were a couple things that that the transition may be more difficult for those who experience combat. What's another example of something that may be that transition piece?
Yeah, so it's the purpose piece.
Mm.
So when you're in the military, you have a mission that's bigger than you, something that is a shared goal, a shared, you know, and it's something that you're supporting and that you are, whether you believe it or not, it's a bigger mission than you.
Yeah.
And you come back out of the military and a lot of these guys are trying to figure out, well, what do I do now? A lot of the workforce doesn't know how to bring veterans in without starting them in like meaningless, just very entry level positions where these guys do have a lot of experience. They just don't know how to translate it into the workforce. And so, you know, they get jobs at Lowe's or Starbucks and things like that, which aren't, I'm not knocking those jobs, but
right,
it doesn't have that bigger purpose and mission to their life. And they just don't see like what the point is after experiencing something like that and then coming back into society.
Yeah, we're designed by our Heavenly Father to have purpose, to be driven by mission. And as a matter of fact, that one, I think, is unfortunately embedded in many people's jobs of why they get discontent and they keep moving jobs. There's a lot of younger individuals, 20s and 30s, who have had multiple jobs where their grandparents had one job and one job only. And so society has changed. And I think one of the bigger deals is that what you're just talking about, vision is lacking in so many areas, in so many people's lives. But yet that's how we were created. We were created to have purpose and vision, to have a bullseye to aim at and to march on towards. And if any individual doesn't have that, let alone someone who has come out of a background of being very mission-driven, then it could certainly be a very large gap. So I am here today celebrating this week of Veterans Day with Michael Cummings, and we are going to take a quick break right now, but there's more to come with this discussion. Mike has started a ministry called Venture Vet, and as a matter of fact, he's pulled out two of the three different purposes, which is community and purpose, and we're going to come back right after break and continue our conversation in what is Venture Vets and why is this such a necessary ministry. Today, you're listening to the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. And if you are intrigued and need more assistance concerning any part of your estate plan, even though that's not what we're talking about today, you can head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. You can find past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, all found at legacyandfaith.com. And we will be right back with more Veterans Day discussion with Mike Cummings. Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And welcome back to the Legacy and Faith Show, this special edition for Veterans Week. And I'm here with Michael Cummings, and we've been talking about different things that maybe are struggles of transition for veterans, specifically coming out of combat. And you've hit on two of three major points, which is community and purpose. And so there's a third one lying in the background here that you want to introduce. So what's this third area where veterans need some guidance and really some ability to reconnect so that their transition can be smoother?
Yeah, so the third thing a lot of our veterans are facing is hope.
Mm.
So they come out of the military, and they've all had these things that have happened to them during their service, and some of them have been pretty tragic. They've lost buddies.
Yeah.
They've maybe been injured themselves. Their family's fallen apart. They've been diagnosed with PTSD. And what I find a lot of our veterans doing is owning these things that have happened to them. Like, I'm a failure at family. I can't do it. I'm just a veteran with PTSD. Like, this is
so,
how my life
so
goes
that
forward.
Becomes their identity.
Yes.
After having a different identity that was mixed with community, mixed with purpose, mixed with hope. Now all of a sudden those three elements are missing as they come back to the quote unquote normal world, or whatever we want to call it, civilian life. And now their identity has shifted to, I'm not sure how my past defines me to move forward in my future.
Exactly. Yeah. You go from having almost like a warrior identity to a broken identity. And as long as the veterans are owning that as who they are, or that this is what defines their life, they can't move forward and they can't find that hope.
Yeah. So how have you personally, then, in these three areas, tell me a little bit about your personal story of transitioning in each one of these three different categories, because we know each other personally. I've heard some of your story, not all of it by any stretch, but I can tell you that the person before me is – I know just by watching you, you're not the person as in the past, even though I didn't know you in the past. But it is clear and obvious, even to somebody who is just a newer relationship with you. So how has your own personal story transitioned in these three areas?
Oh, man. Yeah. So in 2011, when I left the active duty world, so after almost 12 years of active duty infantry, I drove off of Fort Hood for the last time. And it was the loneliest feeling of my life.
Mm.
And I couldn't explain why at the time. I didn't know why, but like just driving out of that gate for the last time felt so lonely. And I moved up to Salt Lake to go to the University of Utah. And I had never really had any major like PTSD type symptoms while I was on active duty.
Yeah.
But pretty much as soon as I had left and moved up to Utah, it started
Kicked in full force.
Yeah. And so I developed an alcohol problem. I was very suicidal.
Mm.
My family fell apart. And there was a point in time where I was drinking whiskey every night, and I had a little 38 special revolver, and I played Russian roulette almost every single night. And I don't know if you would say I didn't lose or I didn't win, but I'm still here.
So. Yes. Thank God.
Yeah. And it took, when I was going to the University of Utah, they have a great veteran support center there.
Nice.
And so I was able to connect with a couple of the vets there, and that kind of helped me start finding that community again. And at this point, so I'd grown up going to church, but I'd kind of fallen away from my faith. And then after like my PTSD breakdown, I bought into this lie from the enemy that I had fallen so far I could never be used again. And that was
right.
The identity I lived under. right?
Yes.
And so I'm living under this identity that God can't use me. I'm too far gone. But I did start finding community at the Veteran Support Center. There was an old crusty Vietnam vet who ran it named Roger. And Roger, I don't know why, but he must have seen something in me and kind of like took me under his wing and got me to start going to some therapy at the VA. I agreed to go one time.
Okay. That's one time is enough, right? Sometimes.
Yeah. And so that one time turned into 6 years of therapy. And during that time, I was getting my degree in adventure and outdoor programs at the University of Utah. And I found that rock climbing with other vets really helped me. And so then I found this purpose in climbing. And so I started a nonprofit in Utah called Operation Climb On. And having that, but then Operation Climb On became my identity. And I it was a successful program. We ran it for 9 years. And so I started finding a little bit of hope, a little bit of purpose, a little bit of community, but my life was still a wreck.
Mm.
And I was still dealing with a lot of the PTSD things. And finally, in 2019, I think it was, a few years ago, I came back up to Washington to visit. And I was so broken at the time because my family grew up here.
Yeah.
And while I was here, I just had this really strong sense that I needed to come back home. So I went back to Utah and I went and talked to my kids and I talked to their mom. And I was like, hey, if I could make my way back up to Washington, what do you guys think? And all of them were like, if you can go to Washington and start over, you need to go. And so so then I moved back up to Washington. That was June 2020, right in the middle of COVID. And I was not interested in going to church or anything like that. But I did start spending a lot of time up in the mountains with my dog. And during that time, I started praying again.
Yeah.
And, you know, God heard my prayers.
And Christ intervened yet again.
Yes.
In his mercy and in his kindness.
Yeah. And so he took me on a little bit of a journey back to him. So it started with just praying in the mountains. And then I was starting to read my Bible again. And then it was probably around March of 2021 where I was like, maybe I should try a church. But I didn't really want to go to church either. Like there was this war going on within me still. And so I went and tried a church for a month and I didn't like it. And okay. Yeah. And then ended up at Venture Church through a series of things that had happened. And just God radically got a hold of my life again.
And so in this transition with Venture, how did Venture Vets come to being?
Yeah. So I had no desire to be in ministry whatsoever. But it was February of 2022. I was meeting with one of the pastors at Venture, and he mentioned starting a group for veterans at the church. And I was like, okay, yeah. So I was thinking small, like a couple of vets hanging out at a coffee shop or a pub and just sharing war stories. But then as I started developing it, like God had other plans with this thing, and it just like snowballed bigger and faster than I imagined. And Venture Vets launched in May of 2022, right before Memorial Day.
And it's been a pretty great ride so far here in this past year. And as a matter of fact, I know that there is a lot of interest in Venture Vets, that you are touching a place with veterans that really does fulfill these three core values of community, purpose, and hope. And it's creating a better dynamic. Discussions, opportunities for veterans to get together, a safe place where veterans can come and have that community and that discussion point with other people that can relate to them instead of being put into a church, but looking around knowing that they're born again and not having a strong community. But Venture Vets is something that is starting, and yes, there's a lot of interest. So if a veteran is actually listening today and he or she is saying, you know, I really need some better community. I might be a Christian already, or no, I'm not. And neither of those faith beliefs matter with Venture Vets. It's a place where we can get together, have community with vets, and start increasing that hope and that purpose behind life again. Does someone have to be a member of Venture Church to join in with Venture Vets?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. And so tell us briefly, because we're unfortunately running out of time. I wish we could just keep going and going and going, but we can't. When does Venture Vets meet currently?
So we meet Thursday nights at 6:30 p.m. at Venture Church in Mill Creek.
Okay. And that's open to any veteran. All are welcome. Is that an accurate statement?
Yes.
Yeah. And what would they, if somebody walked in for the first time, what could they find? What should they expect to find if they walk in to Venture Vets?
They'd find a positive group of veterans that has that camaraderie, that brotherhood, and that would welcome them into that group immediately.
And there's a place where you can begin to grow and grow in your faith and find that hope and that purpose again, but in a foundational biblical area, not as the world does it, because that's a broken system too, right? If someone is interested in Venture Vets, how do they, whether it's a church, whether it's somebody is going, gosh, I wish my church had something like this, or I would like to come and actually check it out because I'm a veteran and I need some hope. How can they find Venture Vets? Where do they go to get information?
So they could either reach out to Venture Church or they can email me at vets@ourventure.church.
So that's vets@ourventure.church. Is that correct? So, number one, thank you for coming on and sharing some of what you're doing, a passion that has been years in the making. Clearly, you had this even in Utah, and now it's being shifted as you have come back into the church, and God is opening up doors for you that are phenomenal. And it's been a pleasure watching our good Lord do that for you and through you. So if you're interested in Venture Vets, please reach out to Michael Cummings, and there is a safe place for you this venture and veteran weekend. So thank you for joining the Legacy and Faith Show. This has been a special edition for veterans on this veteran weekend. God bless you. Thank you for your service. Come and join Venture Vets. There is a safe place that is building community, building purpose, and where you can find hope, and all of that found on a faith foundation. Thank you for listening to the Legacy and Faith Show. God bless you this veterans weekend.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.